Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. This edition, we catch up with longtime Orlando Magic television producer Ty Eastham as we go behind the scenes on the broadcast on Bally Sports Florida, and we have a big reveal at the end. You certainly do not want to miss this episode. It's brought to you by the Florida Department of Transportation. Reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. We have a lot of fun with Ty Eastham here. What it takes to put on a Magic television broadcast, maybe some stories from behind the scenes, the genesis of Is This Anything, and everything that goes into Orlando Magic television. A behind-the-scenes look on the broadcast with Ty Eastham on this edition of Magic Pod Squad.
This is Fonz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
And welcome, everyone, to another episode of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Dante Marcatelli, Jeff Turner, David Steele, George Galante, and oh, we're going to have some fun here with this one. Joining us on this edition is Ty Eastham. He is the producer for all Magic telecasts on Bally Sports Florida, the vice president of broadcasting for the Orlando Magic, and we thought we'd have some fun, peel back the curtain a little bit on what it takes to put a broadcast on Bally Sports Florida, and the guy responsible for keeping all of us in line is this guy, Ty Eastham. That is not an easy job to do, Ty, is it? I would imagine.
No, it's similar to being like a kindergarten teacher, I think. Kind of.
Yes, I would imagine. Is this
where we're going? Okay, all right.
Is this a nightmare for a producer to have a day off and have to see all of us again right away?
It's like, let's just start talking about tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll get our
production meeting.
That should be what it is. It should be the production meeting right now.
Yeah. Now that would be a good podcast.
That would be. Well, we could do that. We could have a little production meeting at the end. We might have a reveal on this podcast, by the way. So you definitely want to stay tuned for that, right? We might have a little reveal at the end. And technically, Ty, all five of us are on the broadcast every night, right? The three of us and then George, if the official makes a bad call.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That squeaky voice you hear through the headsets.
I know I'm always too loud when Dante looks over me and he goes, "Hey, settle down."
you can hear George every home game right behind David and JT.
My question is, do the refs know that they don't know it's you?
I've got to know right now. I feel like I've masked it. I have a pretty good routine.
I've seen it.
I like to shout something.
It's just this, by the way. It's just this. That's all. Yeah.
Look, act like I'm looking off to the side. I do one of those. Like I'm not paying attention to the game at all. Like one of those. Joel thinks I should get the COVID mask back on, though. COVID mask.
Oh, Lord. That certainly helped you. Well, Ty, give us a little insight for everybody listening, the Magic fans and all that, kind of the day-to-day, what it takes to kind of put a television broadcast on. We'll get a little bit into your background and stuff like that. Tell some fun stories of a young David Steele and Jeff Turner. But what kind of the day-to-day on what you're responsible for now?
Well, like today, we're the day before a game tomorrow, so I'll sit down here soon and try to map out what we're going to talk about in our pregame show with you guys, and then what we're going to do in our open before the tip, and just some of the sponsored elements throughout the game, what those graphics or video might look like. Figure out what Dante's moment's going to be with you. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a meeting tomorrow after shoot around. So tomorrow there'll be a shoot around. So we'll all meet at the Advent Health Training Facility. We'll watch a little bit of practice and then we'll go into a room and we'll kind of meet and I'll tell you guys what I came up with. And you guys will tell me, let's change that. And not most of the time you don't, but you guys are good. So
I got his play for the Pistons anymore. Right, exactly.
Yeah. We'll find out what Is This Anything is tomorrow, and then we'll meet that, and then I get to the truck around 12 o'clock. Crew gets there around 12:30, and I print out all the rundowns for everybody, and they start building the graphics and building the all the video and everything like that to get us ready for the game that night.
How would you describe what it's like in the truck during a game? What is that like? Controlled chaos, uncontrolled chaos?
it's controlled chaos. I mean, you know, it's if things are going well, it's a pretty smooth operation. We've all done it so much that it's, I know if somebody on the outside coming in looks at it and go, oh my gosh, you know, all these monitors, all the, you know, everything going on, it's crazy. But after you've done it, you know where everything is, you know what's going on, and it's not that crazy to me. So I don't see it, but it gets crazy when, you know, there's technical issues, which we have, and it gets crazy when there's big moments. That's when it gets really, you know, chaotic, because we're all trying to, you know, organize everything, all the replays, all the graphics, and, you know, things like that. And so when there's a big moment, that's it gets a little more amped up.
Is the craziest time, though, Ty, when David Steele's monitor goes out at the desk, you know, and he starts yelling on his talkback? I mean, is that the hardest time for you?
It pretty much is. That's when my ire gets up. I'm like, oh my gosh, the monitor's out. Can't we have good audio? What, yeah. How hard is this?
That's a pretty good impression.
It's like,
the thing is when you've got an obstructed juice seat to begin with, which is what we're going to
have. Oh, I love it.
Yes.
And then the monitor. You try coming out and calling the game like this.
It's a challenge.
It's, you know, but the bigger challenge is I can literally not do anything other than rely on someone else to do something. So I can, like, you know, and I'm on headsets and we're yelling at people, hey, get this fixed, blah, blah, blah. But we have no idea what they're physically doing. All we can say is we're working on it. So I'm like, you know, meanwhile, a game's going on. So I got to, you know, focus on that. But, you know, luckily we did get your monitor back last night.
Yes, we did. After 45 minutes, it was, you know, I'm quitting.
I'd realize that, yeah.
But, yeah.
Those are frustrating things for me as well.
Fans, you know, if we do it right, fans have no idea that there's crazy things going on. And in Mexico City, I was not there, but Jeff and Dante had just an insane situation. And Ty, you too, in that situation. Yeah. I mean, it was a challenging night for everybody. But I was at home and I watched the game, and as I told all you guys afterwards, I couldn't tell that you guys were having all those problems. You pulled it off so seamlessly. So that's a credit to what you guys do.
Yeah, Mexico City was probably the worst broadcast experience of my career. It was really, really a bad one.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
And we'd probably second that, wouldn't we, Dante? Yeah.
It takes a lot to get JT worked up, but he took his headset off and said, I've never been a part of anything like that in my life.
I saw JT on the Snoop Cam throw his headset.
That's what he did. That's exactly right.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was sitting next to those guys, and as soon as Dante goes, good night, everybody, both of them just took their headsets off, slammed them on the table, looked at the guy next to him, was like, that was the worst thing we've ever done. Worst thing we've ever done.
We had I had a former director a while ago. When something would go bad, and he'd be like, guy at home don't know. So
yeah,
at home don't know, then it's all right.
You know what's funny is the A2 in Mexico City, there's a language barrier. So the audio people in Mexico City gave me the same look as the audio people in Charlotte for some reason. there's certain cities you go to where you know you're going to have trouble. But I think what would be interesting, guys, wouldn't it? Ty, you used to be with the team. You used to travel with the team and go to every city. And, you know, everybody's seen the big television trucks that are out in front of these big arenas, and you do that at home. But that truck, you're no longer with us on the road. Kind of the way technology has evolved, and that kind of lends to what you're talking about. You're very limited in being able to help us on site because you're not there, which is kind of interesting.
Right. So the industry, it's called cloud control now, and there's still a truck. There's a truck at the arena, at the venue. So like last night, where were you last night? Cleveland last night. So there's a truck outside still, and our director's there. We still have our technical director, all our cameras, the same crew that would normally be there, but myself, our editor, our graphics operator, and our score bug operator all stay back in Orlando, and we work out of a room called the cloud control room. And basically, we're just watching everything on monitors. And our graphics operator, Derek and Nate, our editor, they can control their machines through basically an internet connection. And the controller's there in Orlando, but they're hooked up through an internet connection. And they can control their machines and see everything. And we see all the monitors that we would normally see in the truck. And then we're just on headsets with everybody in Cleveland in the truck and kind of, you know, directing them that way. So it's a different way to do it. You know, so it's literally when David's monitor goes out, I cannot do anything from Orlando other than tell somebody. It's actually, you know, when it first started before last season, I was a little skeptical of it. You know, I like being on the road with you guys as far as, you know, we come up with ideas and the dinners and things like that. We really, you know, we talk Magic basketball all the time. And, you know, a lot of things are, you know, start up from that. But, you know, we do these Zoom meetings now and, you know, actually the broadcast, I don't think, like I said, nobody can tell at home that it's different. I think it's worked out pretty well. And, my wife really likes that I don't travel. So
I can imagine.
And great for the family. Great for the family. And I enjoy it too. I like getting home. Like last night, I was home by midnight. I don't know what time you guys got home, but.
Right.
Exactly. It wasn't midnight. It wasn't midnight.
Yeah. No, it's not midnight. Not
midnight. You know, and not I wasn't in Cleveland the night before either.
So. That's true.
But you didn't get Mabel's barbecue. So that was
the
downside. Right.
That's what I miss. I miss the food and I miss the company.
Well, we miss Ty on the road.
We do.
Yes, for sure. Ty is a triple D guy. He's a diner, dives, and drive-ins guy, and he's kind of
he's a foodie.
Producer. Yeah, he's a foodie. And we found Mabel's in Cleveland because of Ty. He'd read about it. So do you miss that part of it, Ty? Just the restaurants and different
coordinator, dining coordinator. We miss that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I kind of don't miss the pressure.
You don't miss
like, I'm going to eat tonight. Just,
it's always there's a lot of pressure. But and for those that don't know, Ty comes up with the venue and David's got to get us there. So that's kind of the arrangement, right? There's a little pressure on both of you guys.
It's hard. It's hard for us to go get dinner now when David and Ty are on the trip. I don't even know how we go eat. As we start.
Well, you know, luckily we've established our places in different cities. So
preachers at
like that place. Yeah. So those triple D spots that we like in certain cities, we tend to go back to like Mabel's and stuff. Although Mabel's isn't a triple D spot. It's a Chef Eric's, Michael Simon's restaurant. he's, you know, a celebrity chef.
Nice. There you go.
His barbecue place. Very good. Very good.
Just so you know, since you left dive, these guys have had nothing but oatmeal and grilled cheese sandwiches since
you've had one more peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Good God.
Ty, you know, I think that. Oh, go ahead.
So when was the first? I was in the truck for the first time when I was an intern. I didn't even know what the truck was. I got sent out there to do something for an NBC national game. I had to do stats, but you had to do it from the truck. And I had no experience of what the truck was, who was in the truck, what happens in the truck. And I remember when I went out there, it was so intense and so crazy that when the game was over, like I had nothing to do other than give the guy the score or something like that. And it was, I left there and my eyes were just like bulging out of my head. It was so intense. People were cursing at each other. It was wild. What was your first experience in a TV truck? Like, how did that come about?
After my, junior year of college,
go ahead and tell them where you went.
Go ahead. Drop that out. Go ahead. Just get it over with.
Well, of course, it was Indiana University, the best college in the land. So after college, or after my junior year at Indiana, I did an internship at then Sunshine Network. And it was during the summer. You know, it was for course credit also. But I knew about Sunshine Network. I kind of started to know about these sports networks a little bit, and I was interested in it. So I interned with them, and it was during the summer, so they didn't have a lot of things going on, a lot of events going on. They did Orlando Predators football. They did the Florida Georgia High School All-Star game that was at over at the Citrus Bowl then. And I believe that might have been my first experience was in the truck for that Florida Georgia High School game, or it might have been a Predators game, but it was that summer, and you know, just seeing everything that went on. Those events were a little less hectic than, you know, an NBA game or a national broadcast. But it's still, as soon as I saw it, I was hooked. I was like, this is great. And, you know, I will say 30 years ago, the industry was a lot different. There was a lot more cursing and yelling at people in the trucks back then. But nowadays, it's a little more HR friendly, I would say, you know. So.
David, has it been a good evolution, I would think, early days?
Yeah, Ty he's great. You know, I've been sitting here thinking, what probably fans don't understand is that the producer of a game is like another broadcaster.
Yeah.
I mean, he really is, because he's in the truck, like you said, or in the cloud, whatever, wherever you are, Ty. Now, I still don't understand how that works, but you're in our ear, and we've talked with Ty about what we're doing, you know, throughout the day, and so we're all on the same page, and it's like having an announcer who's not on air that is part of the broadcast team. And Ty that's what a good producer is, and that's what a really good producer does. And Ty he's the best. He's right there with us, and it helps us figure out the topics and how we're going to present ideas that we have. So he's top notch. Come a long way from those early days, that's for sure.
Still got me going early on. Said, this is what we should do in an open. This is what we should do here. And I started to grasp it.
Started to
kind of debate along the way.
You know, it's interesting. I remember walking out of a game on the road. Sometimes Brian Hill and I will travel to do the pregame show. And I remember walking to the bus with Brian. This was early in his broadcasting career. And he looks at me and he goes, you know, because there was some, I forget what road it was. There's some interesting people in TV, Ty. There are some very interesting people behind the scenes in those television trucks and working in these arenas. And he looked at me and he said, what makes these people want to do this? Where do these people come from? How do you answer that? I mean, right? There's certainly, it's great. It's a great group and we love it and we have a blast every night, but there are some interesting characters along the way for sure, aren't there?
Well, Ty, tell me if I'm wrong, Ty, but I think we've talked about this. You, at one point, you thought you wanted to be an on-air play-by-play or sportscaster, right? Or earlier, maybe in college or prior to that?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know where you got that one. I
wanted to do that.
I knew I was behind the camera.
That was Al Michaels. That's when you talked to Al Michaels.
Yeah, I guess so. Unless you got Al mixed up.
Maybe. I took some classes. You know, obviously, I took a lot of production classes in college, and there are some tapes of me on camera. And
ooh, I'd love to see that.
No, you're not going to see that.
That'd probably be better than us producing, though, I'll tell you that. But there's some interesting characters. And what made you, right? And what made you get in? That's what you, right when you got in early is when you knew this is what you wanted to do? It's not something you always knew you wanted to do?
No, you know, I went to Indiana. I grew up here in Florida. I went to Lake Howell High School. Drop another one there. But I grew up in Indiana until I was 13, and I always wanted to go to IU. And so after I graduated from high school, I went back to Indiana, went to college there. I was going to go to business. I really wanted to get into advertising. And because I like to be creative. I liked, you know, I watched a lot of TV as a kid. I watched, you know, obviously commercials and things like that. Probably too much. But so I wanted to get into advertising. And I was, you know, Indiana has a good business school. So I was going to go there for business. And I figured I'd learn marketing and advertising to the business school. Well, I guess my research wasn't very good, because once I got there, they said, well, we don't have a advertising track in the business school. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, how do I do this then? And then they directed me to telecommunications, which is radio and television department. I knew nothing about it. So I started reading their, you know, the syllabus and reading about the class. It's like, okay, cool. So I took a class that was kind of an introductory class about television and cable television, history of television, all this kind of stuff. And I took it and I loved it. And from that point on, I decided I'm going to go into, you know, radio television, you know, track, and then go into advertising. And they had advertising classes in there. So I did that. But then I also took production classes, you know, while I was doing that as well, because it's part of the degree. And then once I took my first production class, that was, I was kind of hooked on that. And slowly I realized I'd rather go into the TV, the production side of it, than the advertising side of it. So, and the advertising side I learned was very competitive as well in Chicago and the big, you know, the glorified advertising executives. That's, you know, those pitch meetings and things like that you see on TV. It's hard to get to. So
no doubt.
So yeah. So once I did the production classes and everything and got into all the editing and the camera work and all that kind of stuff, I was hooked, and that's when I knew I wanted to work in this business.
Yeah. So Ty, where was your favorite class at IU though? I mean, you gotta tell that story. Come on.
Well, yeah. My favorite class was Coaching Basketball by Bob Knight.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's an actual class that they taught, and it taught everybody how to coach.
Well, he taught. It was an 8-week course that he taught at Assembly Hall in a room, and you would go in a room and he would lecture for an hour, walk up and down the aisle lecturing. And it was mostly, I mean, he would tell you from the beginning that it was the only people that were in there should be education majors, because he was trying to teach people how to coach basketball at like a high school and be a teacher as well and kind of manage your time and all that kind of stuff. So he would lecture for an hour about, you know, setting up, you know, practice, you know, routines and managing your time and things like that. And then afterwards, then you would go out to the lab, which was to go out to the actual court at Assembly Hall. And the assistant coaches would run you through drills and teach you all these different drills that you would, you know, that you should use as a high school coach and stuff. So that course went on for like 8 weeks. And it was awesome. It was awesome just to, you know, growing up, you know, admiring Bob Knight and having him like, you know, just walking right by you in the aisle of the classroom. It was great. And, you know, he would bring in, you know, he's got a lot, you know, JT, you know, he's got a lot of friends that are just, you know, through this industry. And so, you know, so he would have friends stop by just to see him, and he would bring him into the lecture and have them talk to us. Like one day, Dick Schaap talked to us for an hour, gave us a little lecture. It was great, you know. So definitely my favorite class. And I got an A.
How difficult was it to get in that class? That must have been, I would think, a lot of students at IU wanted to take that class.
Yeah, you know, it had to have been, and I don't remember. I remember trying to get in, and actually myself and my roommate got into it. So we took the class together. So I don't know. I don't remember it being difficult to get in. It had to have been to get in, but somehow I got lucky and we got it. So because it's only an 8-week course, and he only teaches it for 1 8-week during the year. So we took it our senior year. We were able to get in.
That's great.
Well, and you were there for some good Hoosier teams too, I imagine, right? So that experience could have only helped, right? So getting to be around that entire experience from a basketball standpoint.
Yeah, we went to a Final Four. I believe it was my sophomore year. You know, Calvert Chaney. He was my neighbor my junior year. We had some great guys. So,
good teams. Ty, take us back to so now you're out of college, you're here, you're trying to get into this TV industry, and now you've got a team that burst onto the scene, right? You've got an expansion team down here in Central Florida. There's a huge buzz in town. I've only seen the videos, but I see Matty Gukas with this giant Olive Garden pin on him, right? Like, take us back to some of the early TV as you're trying to get this network started, and you got a new franchise. Some of the fun, maybe funny things that you guys were doing back then.
Yeah. So, I mean, I came, you know, I graduated from high school in 1989. That was the year the Magic came along. And so I immediately went, you know, to IU, and the team started here. So I didn't really have much, I wasn't around the city or that much during the early years, other than just every once in a while seeing him on TV and stuff. And when I would come back, I would try to get tickets and come to a game. But then after I graduated and moved back, you know, I immediately started working in arena in the Jumbotron room. And that was like, you know, so that was 1993. And it was just a different time. I mean, you know, that, you know, when I started, that's when things were really good.
Right.
Teams. So with Shaq and, you know, Penny was my first year and everything. So it was just electric. And then, you know, we were, you know, back then TV, the technology wasn't what it is today, but we were just, you know, I was logging highlights and things like that. And we were editing things, you know, like just the old, you know, linear way. And it was just, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was in the edit suite with, you know, Rick Price and Kevin Cosgrove and Whit Watson. We'd be there late at night editing features and things like that. And so, you know, we did deep dives into these players and interviews and things like that we did for halftime features and things like that, which we've kind of gotten away from a little bit. I mean, we have the access, the Inside the Magic shows and stuff we do, but I feel like back then we really did a lot of profiles of the players and things like that. Got to know, you know, Shaq and Nick and Penny and those guys, and, you know, even the, you know, Anthony Bowies of the world and Donald Royals, and every once in a while we'd talk to JT and stuff. But it was a fun time.
He's always around.
It is.
Ty, so when you guys are having these production meetings, there's a lot of cooks in the room. How do you manage everybody's ideas, including your own ideas and Greg Hartung's ideas? And how do you manage what is going to make it into the broadcast that night?
Well, ultimately, it's you know, someone has an idea. It's a matter of how are we going to present the idea, you know, video wise, graphically, how is it going to look? And if we can make it look good and they want to talk about it, then that's what, you know, that's what we'll do. So there are sometimes there's ideas you're like, well, I just don't know how we're going to present that. You know, it's a great idea in your head or whatever, or in my head or whatever, but I just don't know how the best way. And we don't have a lot of those. I mean, usually, I mean, obviously we're a tight knit group. We're a good group. So if somebody has an idea, you know, it's usually pretty good, and we're usually able to figure out the best way to present it. And that it's mostly just a conversation of how we're going to do it. It's rare that, you know, there's some, you know, somebody comes up with something and we're like, nah, that's no good. So
is usually Dante's idea where you go, now that's not very good.
Well, yeah.
But I start talking, everybody zipping up their bags right as soon as hey, what do you guys think about? Okay, well,
time to go.
I think it's like, can we get this and this and this and this? I'm like, Dante, there's only like so many hours of the day. I can't do that.
Well, we got 120 sponsors to get in too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's that.
Let's get a word from Florida Lottery.
Those quick are my word. Favorite. When I'm in the truck, those are my favorite. When I get to hear Ty say, all right, roll out for whoever, Steak and Shake, roll out for Florida Lottery. Those are my favorites.
Yeah.
Gotta
Ty, how would,
right, Ty?
You got to pay.
There you go.
Ty, how would you explain for everybody? Give us an example of, is this anything? So we go through our meeting, we've got it all laid out, and you always save it for the end. All right, David, yeah. What you got for, is this anything? So how is it? Let everybody know how it's presented to us and how we ultimately land on, is this anything every night?
Well, usually, David, he'll start out with, well, I was wondering.
Right.
And which he says on, I mean, truthfully, the what he says on the air is not too much different than what's in the meeting.
That's a good point.
So I was wondering, and he explains it, you know, but, and then he'll lay something out and we'll go, yeah, okay. But
that's right.
Then I got something, but I got something else, blah, 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 you know, and then we're like, yeah, but then there's this other thing. And, you know, so usually two or three get he saves the best one for last, the one he knows we're going to use, you know. But, you know, sometimes there's like, well, this one we could use, you know, later, you know, when we play Cleveland next week, or, you know, let's wait until, you know, let's see how this plays out for a little bit longer and everything like that. So, you know, I try not to say too much.
Sets me up. He doesn't want to say much because he doesn't want to tip whether it's going to be a bell or a buzzer. And I don't want to totally give away who's deciding that, but let's just say he's on this podcast. But the thing is,
well, hold on. So, are we making our big reveal here? Is this our big reveal? Are you saying Ty Easton is responsible for the bell or buzzer?
Possibly. But is that, from what I hear, there's sometimes a vote goes on in the truck. Is that right, Ty?
It's not totally on me. I mean, I'll take a poll sometimes in the truck and say, what do you think? You know, what do you guys think? And, you know, you don't have a lot of supporters in the truck. So, sometimes I have to, you know, overrule them a little bit.
Yeah, right.
They're hard.
Ty has final say. Ty is the final word.
Yeah, Ty is the truck. Say.
Yeah.
Let's just get this out of the way, guys, real quick. For me, for David's, is this anything on Twitter and all that?
Yeah.
Ty is the truck.
Right.
JT doesn't have a buzzer under the table. JT's not out to get David. I weigh in, and I'm sure Ty may think about maybe what I say. Probably not. Probably
it's true. Some of it. Ty, sometimes I'm relying on JT to help me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Has JT ever swayed you, Ty? Has your decision been made, and then all of a sudden JT makes an argument on the air, and you go, "That's not a bad point."
I've never been swayed from a bell to a buzzer or vice versa.
Thank you.
When I've been on the fence, that's when it's like, I don't know. And then, so then I got
a buzzer to a bell, a buzzer to a bell. Yes. But not a bell to a buzzer, right?
No.
Just get that. Let's lay it out there.
Let's lay it
out. Well, JT gets very sensitive when you.
Well, you got to. This is 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
This George, I it is what people will walk up to me and, you know, and it's like, bell or buzzer tonight? It's a buzzer. Oh, way to go, JT. You know, I mean, come on. I didn't do this.
But no credits for the bells. David gets all the credits for the bells.
Oh, yeah. David gets the credit for the bells. Yeah.
My favorite is like David in the mean, or even in, like when we look at elements, I show them elements before, you know, before the game so they can see everything we've built and he can see his graphic before we go on the air and everything, you know. In the meeting and then in the grad, you know, where we're doing, you know, it's nothing. He's like, he's saying it's nothing, you know, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Then when it gets on the air, it's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. This is definitely, I've got this and I've got that.
Got to sell it.
He tries to reel me in like it's, a, you know, it's not anything. But then, then he starts to make me feel bad, like, you know.
Yeah, but you know, maybe it works both ways. Because in the meeting, you'll give me the old, yeah, let's go with that. I like that one. And then, you know, I sell it hard and then.
The old okey-doke.
We don't.
Always true.
What's interesting is, like, a lot of times, Ty, we don't know. Like, David has all this other information he doesn't reveal, right, at the meeting and everything. So, there's a little bit of a surprise for us. You know, we kind of know where he's going.
There's a game within the game that comes on, for sure.
It really is. I will say, though, he's got a lot of bells this year.
Yes. Well, there's a lot of material, good material to work with this year.
Yeah, I do. I love a good buzzer.
What's the impetus for a buzzer before he even finishes speaking?
We've done that a couple times, I think. Yeah. Those are fun.
Those are fun. But you know what, David? You did this, what, is it 7 years? 7 or 8 years ago?
Seventh year. We started just because of what we're all talking about, really entertain ourselves, because the team was not winning, you know, not winning many games. So, you know, we came up with this idea collectively to do something fun, because I'm always at meetings, production meeting, throwing out, you know, crazy things that I've found in my research. So we just decided to put that in the show every night, and here we are 7 years later, and I can't get rid of it.
because you know, it's not just basketball things where that pops right. up. Like, we'll be at dinner talking about something and you'll throw something out there and go, is that anything? Like,
become part of the vernacular.
Basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly a lot more fun when you're winning. I guess, Ty, as we close this thing out, like, what would your advice be? There's a lot of people that are trying to break into this industry, and, you know, there's opportunities behind the scenes, I think, that maybe people aren't aware of. You know, don't know that everyone can get to kind of where you're at, but what would your advice be to people that are kind of coming into this industry? And then what you've seen, I mean, we're a close-knit group. We really are. It's kind of like family through the course of a season, all the time we spend together. I know that helps, right? You have good chemistry. Yeah. With the right. people you work with, but maybe some advice for people trying to get in.
Yeah, I mean, I it's been the same thing for me and for years. It's like, just if you can get in, just work hard and just try to learn as much as you can and show that that you're valuable, that you can be a value, just whether it's, editing or, taking the initiative to edit your own stuff and things like that. I mean, in today's world with technology, it used to be when I started, if I wanted to edit something, I had to go to a room that had $1 million worth of equipment, expensive equipment to edit with. Now you can edit on your laptop. Any college student can get $100 or whatever, can get editing equipment on their laptop and just start editing stuff. You can get stuff off of YouTube, off the internet, and make videos and things like that, and just show that you can tell stories and things like that. So it's a lot easier to show, what you can do or to practice and be creative than it used to be. So that's what I would tell somebody that wants to get in the industry, is like use the technology that's out there that anybody can get to and show. I mean, people edit stuff on their phones and things like that. It's crazy what they can do. So if you have that interest, do that and show that to people, and then, just make sure you research, the industry and know where the internships are and where the opportunities might be. But don't be afraid to, a lot of times, people are like, well, I'm not getting paid for this or whatever. You got to just pay your dues and just get out there and work. And, that's how it worked for me. So, I had no idea about sports television until I took a class in college, and I had to do a paper. It was a sports television class. I had to do a paper on something to do with sports television. So I reached out to the people at Sunshine Network and asked them, can you send me some info? And they sent me a whole pamphlet of stuff and all this information. I had no idea about it. And then I was like, hey, you guys have internships? And they're like, well, we haven't before, but we're going to start this year. So I was actually Sunshine Network's first intern, just because I reached out to them and asked them about it. That. So that's you just gotta do the work.
Be proactive. I think yep. your advice is good, pretty much in any profession. Everything you said is true. George, I'm sure in your world, and I talk to a lot of young broadcasters and tell them that too. They've got so many opportunities now that we didn't have with the internet to get experience, or at least get a tape, or you don't even call it a tape anymore, do you? I don't know what you call it, whatever. But you've got a video.
You send them a file.
Yeah. But yeah, the opportunities are out there. You just got to find what your niche is and go for it and do the work. Like you said, Ty, that's great advice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Ty. We figured once we got our third interview with Peg from finance that it was time to have Ty on. It's not
way overdue.
Way overdue. We've all worked with you for 30 years and we've never had you on. So this was great to finally catch up with you.
Oh, this isn't your first podcast? I thought it was the first guest. Oh.
Okay. Actually,
you guys have been doing it a while.
Thanks for listening.
Aren't you in charge of us?
You oversee us?
Don't you oversee the podcast?
Well, let's see if we can't work in one more dinner at Cattleman's or something before this season is all said and done, right? Or you're not missing this road at all, Ty. You're not missing being on the road at all.
Only the food and the company.
That's right. All right. Thanks so much, Ty. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad. We'll see you next time.